Okay, a few practical things that one should know about. We're going to try to record each day. So either we'll do it with Facebook Live or we'll put it on, put it up on YUTOR or whatever it is, so that if a person misses a day and you want to catch up, you could always catch up. So let me just also explain the logic behind Amud Yomi as opposed to Daf Yomi. For those who can, Daf Yomi is an amazing thing. It is an opportunity to study Shas in a very structured way. Is also very challenging because each daf of Gemara, you could spend months studying each page, and so it's really at a breakneck speed that Daf Yomi moves. Amud Yomi also moves at a, to be honest, in some ways a quick pace, but so Daf Yomi is a wonderful thing for those who can do it. But I think it's also important that we have other options, and sometimes it's also important to emphasize quality of learning over quantity of learning. There were those who were opposed to Daf Yomi when it was originally started because they felt it was rushing through material that needed more time. Now it's not that we're spending double the amount of time on each amud. We're gonna sit till about 9 o'clock, please God, each day, and then call the day. Everybody can go and do what they need to do. So you pray, you learn, and then you go about your day and go to work, whatever it is. I just want to make sure I have everybody's name here. I don't think I know your name. What's your name?
I am Tzvika Rubensky.
Tzvika Rubensky. Nice to meet you. Okay, I saw you on the group. Okay, nice to have you here. So we open up with Masechet Brachot, and we're ready. We've already on Daf Bet Amud Aleph. Okay, so we're going to study the topic of Kriyat Shema, the mitzvah to read Shema twice a day, in the morning and in the night, B'shoch Becha, when you go to sleep and when you wake up. And commentators discuss, why is this the first mitzvah that we study? Why not start with Shabbat? Why not start with Kashrut? Why do we start with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? And there are two explanations that I saw. One explanation is that when a bar mitzvah becomes, when a person reaches the age of mitzvot, the first mitzvah that they fulfill, because a day starts at night, as we'll see, a Jewish day starts at night, is the mitzvah of reciting Kriyat Shema. So this applies to a bar mitzvah boy. Bar mitzvah girl also can fulfill this, even though she's not obligated. That's one explanation. A second explanation, anyone want to give a shot at it? Why would we start with Kriyat Shema?
Fundamental tenet of faith.
It's nachon. It's even more basic in some ways than a fundamental tenet of faith. It's kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. It's a recognition. When we say kriyat shema, we are recognizing that that we are responsible to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We are obligated to keep his mitzvot. And so this is like the most fundamental mitzvah in the Torah in many ways. And therefore, we start with the mitzvah of kriyat shema. Okay, so let's start. Me'ematai korin at Shema B'Aravin. What is the beginning time that one can read Shema at night? We're not starting with Shema in the morning. We're talking about the Shema at night. Okay. Okay. So what's the answer in the Gemara? Misha'a shehakohanim nichnasim le'achol b'trumatan. It's the time when the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash would go in to eat their truma. Okay, truma is a special tithe that the Jewish people give to the Kohanim. It's their for their public service. It's part of their salary, and they could only eat it. We'll see it at night. Okay, this is a time which is considered to be called Seit HaKochavim. Seit HaKochavim is when the stars come out, and this is when you have three stars, neither too large, neither too small. Benoni, three stars, Benoniim. This is the time that you can start to say Shema. What's the end time for saying Shema? Ad sof hashmura harishona, until the first third of the night. There's a debate. There are three or four different watches, and then you just get the lights, David, if you don't mind, watches in the night. The night is broken into different compartments, and you could read Shema until the end of the first Ashmura. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. The chachamim, they give you more leeway. They say you could read Shema until when? What's chatzot? Until midnight. Until chatzot. Now it's very important to understand, when we say midnight, do we mean 12:01 a.m.? What's midnight, Eric? Midnight. What's midnight in halacha? I asked Eric, David. What's midnight al pi halacha, Eric? Huh? Okay, chatzot. What is chatzot? So this is very important to understand how we define Jewish time. Jewish time is a very curious thing, okay? What do we mean by this? It means as follows. I once gave a drasha about all the different peculiarities of Jewish time. Six or seven examples I came up with. But the what it means here is as follows. Break up the day and the night into, you know, the day is the amount of sun that you have. Night is when the sun is down. Now, during the summer, the day is going to be a lot. It stretches out. It's a lot longer. And during the winter, the day is a lot shorter. If you live in England, for example, northern England, in the winter, you might have 3-4 hours of sunlight, right? So that means that you're breaking down the time of sunlight into 12 different units, okay? And that's called a sha'azmanit or sha'ot zmaniot. This means that in the summer, an hour, a Jewish hour, is much longer. And in the winter, a Jewish hour is much shorter. Okay, so when we say ad chatzot is is halfway through the night. Okay, but the night is going to be shorter during the winter than it is. Sorry, excuse me, much longer in the winter than it's going to be during the summer. So these times shift. Okay, there's nothing fixed in time. Rather, these things shift.
What do you do when your shul comes in very early up north? You say Shema and Shul again and repeat it at night in the winter?
You know, I once heard someone say that Judaism was only meant to be kept in by the equator in Eretz Yisrael, you know. Jews shouldn't go too far up north, too far down south. It creates problems. It creates real challenges for halacha. I don't want to share too many stories here, but I was once at in Scotland for Shavuot. And the person I was eating with was very makbid to wait until after Teda Kochavim for us to start our meal on Shavuot. When was Teda Kochavim on Shavuot? It was 11:37 p.m. But he did surprise us with a 25. He opened up on that night a 25-year Lafroig and a 30-year Talisker. So it was worth it. But it was very late. Okay. Okay. So Chachamim say Ad Chatzot. You have more time. Rabban Gamliel Omer Ad Sheya'ale Amud HaShachar. Rabban Gamliel says you actually can say Shema all night long until a time called Amud HaShachar. What is Amud HaShachar?
First light.
It's not when the sun comes up. That's called Neitz Hachama. That's Zrichat HaShemesh. Amud HaShachar is, you know, there's sort of this like bluish sort of light that you can, light enough that you can go jogging in the morning, but it's not quite, the sun has not appeared over the horizon yet. So Rabban Gamliel is the most lenient. You could say Shema until almost the morning. Now we have a story, Ma'aseh. A story about Rabban Gamliel's children, and there's a very good idea here that the rabbis understand you always need to bring in stories to when you're teaching. Ma'aseh. Uva'u banav mi beit ha-mishteh. Rabban Gamliel's children came back from a mishteh, from a wedding. Amrulo, they said to him, lo karinu at Shema. You can imagine it was late at night. They said, we didn't read Shema yet. What do we do? Amr lahem, he said, im lo ala amur ha-shachar chayvin atem likrot. He says, if Amud HaShachar hasn't come yet, you can still read Kriyat Shema. Velozo bilvad. Not only Kriyat Shema, Kriyat Shema is not the only mitzvah that you could perform until first light Amud HaShachar. There are other mitzvot as well, which you could perform all the way until Amud HaShachar. What are they? Now we're going to talk about some sacrifices and korbanot in the temple. What are they? Hekder chalavim ve'evarim mitzvatan ad she'ala Amud HaShachar. What's hekder chalavim? Anybody know what this is? What's hekder chalavim?
Burning the leftover
fats. There are certain fats that were burned on the Mizbeach each night. Sometimes it would, it could take a long time to do it, or it would go late into the night. You could burn these fats ad Amud HaShachar, just like you can say Shema until Amud HaShachar, according to the opinion of Rabban Gamliel. Another example. The Chol HaNe'achalim Liyom Echad Mitzvatan Ad She'ya'aleh Amud HaShachar. There are certain korbanot, certain sacrifices, that you have a fixed period in which you could eat them in, okay? An example is a chatat, an asham, kifse atzeret, umenachot, v'todah. There are different sacrifices. And you have to eat them in a certain period of time. Some sacrifices you have during the day to eat them until, just a recommendation, if you open up, just search on Google, Sefaria Brachot. Okay, Sefaria Brachot, and you could access Dafyomi on your phone if you don't have a Gemara. But we'll get some more Gemaras for those who need tomorrow. So there are certain sacrifices that you could eat that you have a fixed time period to eat them in. A chatat, a sin offering. You could eat it during the day. The parts that you're supposed to eat, you eat during the day. And you have until the end of the night. What is the end of the night? Until Amud HaShachar, until the first lights. So this is a third example of a mitzvah that can be performed until the first lights. V'chol ha'ne'achalin li'om echad mitzvatan ad she'al Amud HaShachar. Im kein. So if that's the case, then you could really perform all these mitzvot until Amud HaShachar. Lama amru chachamim ad chatzot. Remember, the Chachamim said you can only do this until Chatzot. Yeah, Rabban Gamliel is saying you could go all the way until Amud HaShachar, until first light. So am I allowed to say Kriyat Shema until first light, or only until Chatzot? So the answer is as follows. That the rabbis say, in principle, you really could say Shema until when? Until first light. However, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You get home late at night, and you say, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep early. And then I'm going to wake up early and I'll say Shema in the morning. Has anyone ever tried doing this before? What happens when you try to wake up early in the morning? You press the snooze button, okay? And then you press it again. And then you're just fidgeting with your phone and some of the alarm goes off. And you end up waking up later than the regular time you're going to wake up. Okay, so it doesn't work so well. So better to get something done at night. Say Shema before Chatzot. Don't think, because if you think you have more time, you're going to end up extending and forgetting and getting lazy and falling asleep. So better to do this already from Chatzot. Okay?
And when you have minyanim all night, can you say Shema all night?
Yeah, in theory you could. Yes, in theory you could. Yeah. If you're in the army and you're on a masa and you're on a hike and you forgot to say Shema until midnight, Chatzot, you could then say it until later, you know, very late into the night, until first light, until Amud HaShachar. So just to summarize our Mishnah, we have one opinion about when you can start saying Kriyat Shema. The beginning time is when the priests, when the Kohanim, go in and eat their Truma, which we'll talk about what that means in a little bit. And three opinions about the ending time. One is until the end of the first watch, Rabbi Eliezer. A second opinion, the Chachamim, is until the end, until midnight. And the third opinion, Rabbi Gamliel, is all the way until first light. Yafe. Now let's open up the Gemara. Let's read the Gemara. You see Gimel Mem? That's the Gemara. Before this, we were studying a Mishnah. Okay? The Gemara is a commentary on the Mishnah, of course. So the Gemara is going to say, wait a second. Let's just take a step back here. Tana hechakai dekatani me'ematai. Says, wait a second. You want to start talking about the time when you could start saying Shema? Where do I even know that I have an obligation to say Shema to begin with? Why are you starting in the middle of the conversation? Go back. Let's start with a more fundamental point. Let's first figure out that you have an obligation to begin with. Vitu, and furthermore, Mai Shna Detani Ba'arvit Bereisha. Why do we start talking about the obligation to say Shema at night? How many obligations do we have in terms of saying Shema? How many are there?
Three.
There are three? Interesting. What are the three? Shacharit, Ma'ariv, what's the third, David?
Al-Hamita.
Okay, we'll talk about what that is in just a second. Did someone say four? Is there a fourth? No one said four. Okay, three. We're going to go with three now, but really, according to the Torah, how many is it? It's really two. V'shochbecha, when you go to sleep. Uvkumecha, when you wake up. Now, why don't we start talking about Shema in the morning? Let's talk about the first thing you do in the morning. Yitgaber ka'ari, you wake up like a lion in the morning. And you wake up so like a lion in the morning? Let's talk about the Shema of Shacharit. It's the first thing we do in the day. Why do we start with the Shema of at night? Okay, so let's see what the answer is. So let's just read the question again. V'tu, mai shna detani ba'arvit bereisha, leitnei deshacharit bereisha. Talk about Shacharit first. So what's the answer? Tana akrai ka'e. The author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He's basing this on a pasuk. What's the pasuk? Dichtiv, as it says in the Torah, b'shoch b'cha uvkumecha. Where do those words appear? In the Shema. And what's the order of these words? B'shoch b'cha. What's b'shoch b'cha? Franklin, what's b'shoch b'cha? When you lie down. And uvkumecha is what? When you get up. So according to the Torah itself speaks about the Shema of at night, when you go to sleep, before it talks about the Shema of Shacharit, when you wake up. So we're just following the Torah. Now we had two questions. One question is, what is this all based on? And the second question is, why do we start with talking about the nighttime Shema instead of the morning time Shema. And this seems to answer both questions, right? What is the idea, the notion of reading Shema? Where does it come from? It comes from the psukim in the Torah. Okay? And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is teaching us a very important lesson, that all of Shas, all of Halakha is rooted back in the Torah. And so much, I don't know what percentage, maybe 20% of Talmudic discussion is about finding the original sources in the Torah that connect to the laws in Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, so we're doing that right here. He's teaching us this principle right here. Okay, now, okay, and this is really how we should read the Mishnah. Zman kriyat Shema tishkiva emat. When is the time to read Shema, for meaning at night for when you lie down? That's from the time from the Kohanim go in and eat their truma, that they eat their special food. Okay, so we're adding in the sort of why we reference Shema at night first, because of Shkiva, because of Bishoch Becha. Good.
Once you say Shema, you can't talk afterwards, is that correct?
Well, that's Kriyat Shema Alamita. We'll talk about that later.
When did they do a sacrifice at night? I mean, why is it?
Ah, okay, so this is not a sacrifice at night. They would do the sacrifices during the day. However, as we'll see, the notion of davening Marv. You could daven Marv all night. Why? Because davening Marv is based on the burning of the sacrifices that didn't burn during the day. You know, some people, they don't like their meat, red. They like rare. They like it well done. So you have to let it burn throughout the night, right? You could understand this, okay? You could, you know, so this is, you know, so this is why that's the notion. So they didn't do any sacrifices in particular at night.
So it wasn't an active thing. That's just when...
That's when the sacrifice... Well, what we're talking about here is not bringing a sacrifice. We're talking about the time the Kohanim would eat, that they would eat their truma. Now, why... I'll expand upon this a little bit. What are we talking about Kohanim here? The Gemara could have just told us, say Shema when three stars come out. I mean, they always need to complicate things, right? Why do you need to tell us that it's about the Kohanim? So let me just explain what this is. The Kohanim have to be pure when they worship, when they serve in the temple. Okay? Now, what happens if a Kohen becomes impure? So, depending on the type of impurity, let's just say he needs to go to the mikvah. Okay? He does tefillah. He goes into the mikvah. Let's say the Kohen goes into the mikvah at 2 p.m. during the day. Is he able to eat the truma? Truma you need to be pure for. Can he eat the truma at 2 p.m. after he goes into the mikvah at 2:05? The answer is no. He needs to wait until the end of that day, okay? Till the day changes. Till Tzeita Kochavim, when three stars come out, okay? And that's when he is allowed to eat his truma, eat his special truma food, which is special for the Kohanim. Okay, let's continue on. Now the Gemara is going to give a different answer of why we start with talking about Shema at night instead of during the day. If you want to say, Yalif mibriyato shalolam, we learn from the nature of the world, from the creation of the world. Because what does it say in creation, in the first parak of the Torah, Dichtiv, as it says, Vayer vayivoke yom echad, right? But what do we see there? What comes first? At night. This is the basis for the idea that a Jewish day starts at night. This is the second peculiarity of Jewish time. The Jewish day starts at night. Okay? So, but we see Erev again comes first instead of Shacharit. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to raise a challenge. And the challenge it's going to raise is a contradiction between our Mishnah, which we're studying right here, and the Mishnah, which is later on in the Masechet. What Mishnah appears later on in the Masechet? So, ihachi, okay, seifa dekatani. The seifa, seifa means the second part, and dekatani that we learn in the Mishnah. The seifa where we learn, okay, this is a Mishnah which appears. Anyone see a star in their Gemara? Anybody have a star there? Bishachar, you see the star? Bishachar? Okay, that's telling us, this is referencing a Gemara that's later on in the Masechet. These are what we call hyperlinks. Okay, you ever on a website and you press on, you know, a different page while you're on the page? That's what this is. It's just that these came a lot before the internet came about. It's a hyperlink to another sugya. So this sugya says as follows. Let's read it, and then we'll see why it's a challenge for ours. B'shachar mevarech shtayim lefaneha, ve'achat la'achara. In shacharit, we make two blessings before Shema, and how many after Shema? Ve'achat, and one afterwards. What are the names of these blessings? The first one is Yotzer HaMe'orot. Starts with Baruch Hu, and then Yotzer HaMe'orot, God who creates the luminaries. The second one is called Ahava Rabba, right? Or Ahavat Olam. Those are the two brachot before Shema. The one after Shema is Ga'al Yisrael. That's Shacharit. What about Arvit? Whereas Uve Erev, Mivarech Shtayim, Lefanei, you make two brachot beforehand, HaMa'ariv Aravim, and then Ahavat Olam. And then you make two afterwards. What are the two brachot you make afterwards? Ga'al Yisrael and... No, Ga'al Yisrael and Shomer Mo Yisrael Ad. Those are the two brachot afterwards. Now, what's interesting about this Mishnah? Which one does it discuss first? Shacharit or Arvit? It discusses Shacharit first. I don't understand. In our Mishnah, we made a whole thing about saying Arvit first. Okay, Arvit and then Shacharit. But in this Mishnah, which is later on in the Masechet, it says Shacharit first and then Arvit. Hello, come on, at least have some consistency here. So the Gemara asks, late nay the Arvit Beresha. This Mishnah later on should really talk about Arvit first, just like ours talks about Arvit first. So what's the answer the Gemara gives? Tana patach be'arvit, vehadar tani b'shacharit. Our Mishnah, you have to see the whole unit. Our Mishnah starts with Arvit, and then ultimately it moves to Shacharit. Okay, we're going to talk about times for Shacharit soon. And then it gets the whole discussion about Shacharit, the Brachot. And then we'll conclude with Arvit. It's sort of a chiastic structure. A, B, B, A. That's the reason that the Mishnah later on starts with Shacharit. So, Patach b'Arvit, v'hadar tani b'Shacharit, ad deka'i b'Shacharit. And once you're talking about Shacharit, you continue discussing it. Parish mili de Shacharit, v'hadar parish mili de Arvit. Once we get into Shacharit, we continue with Shacharit until we finally move back to Arvit. It's a chiastic structure, A, B, B, A. Okay, so this is the first two dots of all of Shas, right here, these two dots. Now, we move on. Amar Mar. Mar is not the name of a person. Mar is referencing an earlier opinion. Mar said, meaning the earlier commentator in the Mishnah said, from the time that the priests eat their truma, that's when you could start saying Shema at night. Now we're going to see on the next page, which please God will do tomorrow, we're going to see five or six other opinions. They're all going to be very close. But right now, this is the sole opinion in our Mishnah, the beginning time to say Arvit, which is when the Kohanim eat their truma. Michti. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's analyze this. Kohanim. Eimat ka'achli truma. When do the Kohanim eat their truma? What's the time? Misha tzeda kochavim. That's from tzeda kochavim, when the stars come out, when three stars come out. Okay? So wait a second. So just tell us, can you make this simple for God's sake? Let ne misha tzeda kochavim. Just say that you could read Shema from tzeda kochavim. That would make things so much easier. Why does it need to be so calm? Why do we need to talk about the Kohanim here? Okay, so what's the Gemara answer? Correct, but you can assume it's based on a natural phenomenon. So what's the answer? The answer is Miltav Agav Orche Kamashmalan. The Mishnah wanted to teach us something by the way. Okay, as we're studying topic number one, we might as well learn something about topic number two. What is it that it wants to teach us? Kohanim eimat ka'achli b'truma. When are the Kohanim allowed to eat their truma? Mishat tzeta kochavim. It's from the time of tzeta kochavim. Now, why is this such a big deal that they're considered pure? Remember, they went to the mikvah at 2 p.m., but they're only able to eat their truma at 8 p.m. after tzeta kochavim when the stars come out. Why is this such a big deal? Because you might have thought that there was another requirement, that they actually required a third thing. So far we said a Kohen needs to go in the mikvah, and he needs to wait till Tzeda Kochavim. But there's a third thing you might think that he needs. You know what the third thing is that he might need? He might need to wait till the next morning and bring a korban, and bring a sacrifice. Now, where is our Mishnah staking itself? What is the position of our Mishnah? Was it telling us No, you don't need to wait for the sacrifice in the morning. You can say, you know, the Kohen can eat truma just once the night comes. Okay? So, milta agav orche kamashmalan kohanim emat ka'achli betruma. When can the kohanim eat truma? Mishatzir kochavim. The ha-kamashmalan, this comes to titash, de kapara lo me'akva, that you don't need to wait for the korban the next morning. You could still eat truma beforehand. Kidetanya, as we learn in Etanya, as we learn in another rabbinic statement, this is a pasuk from Vayikra Perakafbet, which discusses the purity of the Kohanim and their ability to serve in the Beit HaMikdash. Uva Hashemesh Vitaher. And the sun comes sets Vitaher, and they become pure. So we see Biat Shimsho Me'akavto Mile'echol Bitruma. We see that once the sun comes, then you're allowed to eat the truma. Okay? Ve'ein kaparato me'akavto mile'echol b'truma. And he doesn't need to wait for the korban. How do we know he doesn't need to wait for the korban? It says, uva hashemesh, when the sun comes. And when does the sun come? That's sunset.
There's that general rule, by the way, that kohanim are then going to be pure and able to go and do the avodah without having given a korban. They just need to go to the mikveh and then wait.
No, they would, in order to do the avodah, they would need the korban.
Right,
okay, but this is just in terms of eating truma itself. So they went through two levels of purity. They went to the mikveh and they waited till at night. But they wait for the korban the next day. Okay? Now, we're just going to have a little discussion here. Another two lines, and we'll finish up for today. How do we know that Uva Hashemesh, Vitaher, is referring to that the night comes? Maybe it's really referring to the night coming Vitaher, and he brings a korban the next morning. Okay? So, Umay Dahay Uva Hashemesh Biat Hashemesh. How do we know that Uva Shemesh is referring to the sun going down? And Vehai Vitaher, Taher Yoma. And it refers to Taher Yoma, the cleansing of the day, the end of the day. Dilma, next page. Dilma Biat Orohu. Really, maybe it's referring to Dilma Biat Oro is when Shacharit comes on the eighth day. Umay Vitaher. And what is Vitaher? Taher Gavra. It's when the person brings the korban. Okay? So Rabba resolves this. Amar Rabba Bar Shila im kein lemakra v'yitaher. If this were what it meant to mean, that you need to wait for the korban in the morning, it would say v'yitaher, v'yitar, v'yitaher, he becomes tahor. My v'taher, what is v'taher referring to? It's referring to the day itself. Meaning taher yoma, it's the day becomes cleansed. As soon as the day ends, the sun goes down, the day is cleansed, the kohen can eat his truma. The Amri Inchi, as people used to say, this is a phrase I guess people used in the Babylonian times in Persian Empire. Yarev Shimshav Adke Yoma. The sun passes and the day is cleansed. Okay, so all we see from here, and here we're going to stop, is that the Kohanim can eat their truma from Tzeda Kochavim. This is also the time that a person can start to say Mariv. Okay, you know, we're going to close our Gemaras, but I'll just tell you about a famous machloket on the first page of Shas. Rashi says, he raises a really important question. He says, we just said that you can start saying Shema from Tzeda Kochavim. But guess what? If you go to most shuls in Chutz La'aretz, okay, you know what they do? They daven mincha before the sun goes down. The rabbi gives a 2-minute dvar Torah, a kitzur shulchan aruch, the Rambam, I don't know what, it's 2 minutes, and then they daven mariv 4 or 5 minutes after the sun goes down. There are no stars out yet. That's another 20 minutes. And yet they're saying Shema. How are you allowed to say Shema if it's not Tzeda Kochavim yet? So you know what Rashi says? He says, this is not the real Shema. It's not the real thing. It doesn't count to fulfill your obligation at night. You know what it is? We're just doing Shema so that before you say the Amidah of the Shemona Esrei of Mariv, you should do some Torah study before. It's always good to have some Torah study in there. But really, it doesn't count. When is the real Shema when you fulfill your obligation? Kriyat Shema Alamita. Now this is a problem. And Tosfot says there's so many problems with this. Why? First of all, Kriyat Shema Lamita, you only say one paragraph. You don't say more than that. Secondly, there's no bracha before that. You're telling me that's the obligation when you say it, Alamita? also, yeah, okay, he's saying, but if, even furthermore, the Gemara is going to say explicitly another few daf that the reason we say Shema at night is actually that a person should have clean thoughts when they go to sleep and not be thinking about, I don't know, whatever inappropriate images. You should be thinking of Torah. So that's the reason we say Kriyat Shema Lamita. Nothing to do with fulfilling your obligation. Shatosfot says, no, you know, the real Shema that we say is the one that we say even earlier in the day before the stars come out. And this is because he's saying we end up following another opinion, which says that the time is earlier. However, the truth is, most people will tell you, even if you say Shema earlier, they often announce, what do they announce in Shul? Make sure to say Shema after Tehillat Kol Chavim, especially if you start early Shabbat, you need to do this. And interesting, here in Ra'anana, we have the minhag, and this is that we wait 18, 20 minutes between Mincha and Arvit. And what's the reason? One reason is so that you say Shema after Tehillat Kol Chavim. Okay, with this we conclude the first Amud of Daf Yomi. Shekoch, everybody. Please, God, we'll continue tomorrow, 8:30. Have a good day.